We're back here on In Focus, News Radio KMAN, chatting here today with our officials from USD 3-3 Manhattan Ogden Schools, Assistant Superintendent Eric Reed and Board Member Daryl Eady. Now, there is a school board meeting at 6:30 tonight. That's the regular business meeting. But ahead of that, there will be a legislative work session. And I guess that means our area local delegates will be speaking and listening, I would imagine.
Yes, we have invited all the area delegates that represent constituents within our boundaries. Not all of them are coming, but we'll have a good group and have a little visit with them, talk a little bit about what's important to us going into the legislative session. They'll talk a little bit about where they're at or what they think they can navigate. So we've got a list of things to go over with them.
Yeah, we do. And they're a great group to actually work with and talk with. We've had some great interaction with our representatives, state representatives, even federal ones a couple times. So they're great. And, you know, and tonight we get to talk to them about like the dark store tax assessment, which, you know, the county talks to them about, city talks to them about. But it, you know, it'll hit us just on this one person, like, or one group, about 68,000. So That's a lot of, that's a teacher and a half.
There you go. Kidding. You know, you're picking up on that, Daryl. Good.
I always kind of relate to, okay, how many teachers is this going to cost me type scenario. So look at it in that way. And then, you know, we also have some at-risk transfer requirements and issues going on. I believe some of that had to deal with ESOL too, didn't it?
ESL wasn't quite as bad as the at-risk. It's just basically some paperwork things, the things they required us to do that I don't think they meant to do with the wording and the formula. So I think it's something they could actually fix. But basically what they did is made us restrict our supplemental general funds to specific funds, which probably not legal if it ever got challenged all the way through. So I hope they can fix it without jumping back in court again. Hmm.
Well, like Emily from ESOL came and talked to us. They haven't even changed the funding formula on that since, I think it was 92. Yeah. And it needs some looking at because, you know, we have 40-plus major languages plus all the sub-dialects in those languages. So, you know, there's a lot of language issues there. Think of somebody coming from Afghanistan right now and coming over here and eating in a cafeteria. Even how we do things in a cafeteria is unique and different.
Right.
So, You know, there's all that in how we walk to the classroom even or to the cafeteria. You know, it's all unique and all different. It's all learning, and it's something they have to go through. So something we need to talk to them about a little bit, and probably the MVA funding as well. It'd be nice to be able to help out some part-time students that we really can't right now. You know, if we have even those that do at-home learning, we can give them a class they can't normally have, especially like an AP-type class. But right now we can't.
Okay, well.
We can. It's just very difficult and not cost-effective to do that.
Right. Yeah.
All right, so that would be about an hour and a half, the legislative work session, and always good to get those opportunities here because the legislative session starts, after the new year starts.
Starts in January.
So. Mm-hmm. Okay.
Through at least May.
Yep.
All right. And after that, we get into the regular business meeting and we'll take a look at the agenda here tonight. The spoken reports include one from the Fit Closet. And this is the Fit Closet annual report. What are you expecting here out of that tonight?
Well, this is actually the first time we've had the Fit Closet in front of the board. We've worked with them for years. And they have done a tremendous job in the community, you know, handing out clothes and just helping those in need. Backpacks, you know, at the school year, laundry materials, personal hygiene materials, all sorts of things. And this will be the first time they've actually come for the board and talked to us. This is, and it's an amazing program. It started off really, really small, and it has extremely blossomed.
All right, so Paula Haug, Tracy Emery going to be the ones to discuss that. I agree. I think that's going to be a lot of fun. They do such good work here, and I know the need never stops. And, you know, even here during the holidays, I'm sure there's opportunities to go shop the Fit Closet.
Yeah, I mean, the need is there. The need's there, and I'm grateful we have people with a heart for that. and to be able to do that. Donations always welcome at the Fit Closet. You know, you can follow him on Facebook. Tracy's really good about putting out, these are the things we're short on, and she'll take a picture of the empty tub, you know, of, you know, young boys' socks or underwear, or young ladies' t-shirts, and pretty good about saying this is what we need, toiletries or whatever. And then our community steps up, our community supports, and it's one of the things I love about where we're at.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, you got that, and then the superintendent's report, that includes the pandemic response plan, is that correct?
Pandemic response plan is actually on old business, so we'll talk about the pandemic response plan, kind of where we're at in the plan, where we'd like to be moving forward, and where we plan to be right after break. If you notice, I don't want to change topics if we need to talk about that more, but we have the construction report that we went past as well. I wanted to let people know that we'll probably have some timelines out tonight where we're talking about Eugene Field coming up, should be finishing this spring sometime. More than likely not going to be able to shift students over. I just don't have a long enough break to get the building set up to make a transition reasonable for 6 weeks or 8 weeks or something like that. When right now they're at College Hill, they're in a good facility now, so we'll probably make that transition over the summer. And we'll update and kind of highlight our timeline to Manhattan High School as well, as when that transition can come from the ninth grade center to the West Campus, being the full 912 high school too.
Okay. Well, that's exciting to have some timelines in place there, because I know a lot of folks are looking forward to that.
Oh, yeah.
Probably one of the good things today to talk about, we'll have some updates on our storm shelters at a couple of the schools that are coming together at the elementary schools. Yeah, good thing to be talking about that.
That's a timely thing. So, yeah, we've been reworking the design. We've been working really hard to figure out the designs at the elementary schools on how to add that space with the construction costs going up as much as they have. So it's been a challenge, and I think we've got a reasonable solution. So we'll lay out some plans tonight and show them to the board.
Great. All right. Well, that's construction continues here in the USD 383 school district. And then get back to the pandemic response plan. So I guess there will be a vote tonight on where the school district goes here as far as the masks and all that stuff. And so people can tune in and see what the board is willing to do.
Yes, sir.
All right. Well, that'll be, of course, interesting to see. As far as new business, what do we have on new business today?
Oh, purchases, buying stuff.
Yeah, we have more projectors and stuff like that. We're buying some architectural services for roof replacements at the Manhattan High West Campus and Marlette Elementary and Lee Elementary. We have a third floor HVAC unit we got to replace and do some work on. You know, some of these things we set aside funds every year, because these are sometimes very expensive projects. You know, you're looking at sometimes $1 million. So we set aside money for these big projects every year to help take care of these when they come up. So some of that will be hitting tonight. And then we also have, every year the Kansas Association of School Boards also has resolutions and stuff they like to present to the state legislators. We'll be going over a little bit of that tonight. There's nothing really major in that one that I've read through. But, you know, we still need to read through it. I've got that meeting tomorrow night and vote tomorrow night, so they'll...
Yeah, and that's pretty cool, because it's basically all the districts in the state affirm what they want their representatives for KSB to talk to the legislature about. So they're really good about being responsive to the local school boards.
All right. And lastly is the land acknowledgement proposal. I know that was brought up at the last school board meeting here by Board President Jardine Coleman. This would be a first reading, correct? Is A1?
Yes, correct. That's what it's in there for, is A1. So I'm sure there'll be discussion on that one.
I no doubt there will be some discussion on that tonight. I know there were some concerns raised about this, maybe kind of the timing, Daryl, on this issue here. Do you have any thoughts you can share on that?
Probably not a whole lot. I'll be sharing, of course, stuff tonight, historical information and other type information. But we'll do that tonight at the meeting and present it. And then, there'll be some other, I'm sure, different types of discussion back and forth.
Yeah. This, and just to be clear, kind of what this is here is this would be something that would be read at every school board meeting at the beginning, kind of similar to the Pledge of Allegiance. Is that safe to say?
Well, that's kind of the way they are going to update it a little bit. I haven't seen the updated proposal, but yeah, that was the other proposal was to read it.
You're seeing some organizations do that, and I believe K-State does that before a lot of their public meetings, is they'll read a land acknowledgement statement, and it kind of grew out of that.
All right. Well, be interesting. I know that's something Jardine Coleman's been passionate about here. I know she mentioned it back several months ago, and it was brought back up at the last meeting. So be interesting to tune into that for the vote tonight. As far as anything else, that pretty much wraps it up, doesn't it?
Yeah, that wrap up the year.
And
Calendar year. Sorry.
Yeah, calendar year.
That's important.
I might ask, we've heard from some other school districts, I think January is usually when you start working on your calendar for the following year. Is that
Already started that, Brandon.
Have you?
I've been working on that.
Okay.
I'll get it. I think by policy I'm supposed to bring it to the board in March, but I'm working on that for the staff and working through that with a group of people I pull together every year. So
I was going to say, that's kind of a year-long process, I think.
That's got to be a challenge, just putting a calendar together for an entire year.
You know, there's goods and bads, and you know what people want. People want to know early, and then they don't want you to change it. So they want you to know a long time in advance. And those years we had to change them, you know, when we had the COVID year, when we had some problems, and you got to extend the year, and people are already planning to be out or have tickets or things like that. It just causes chaos. Or a thing like a K-State bowl game on your first day back can cause some chaos for your staff as well, because we got to have school and we got to go to that. And we got a lot of people. We got a lot of people that love K-State football and want to be down there and support the Cats. And I'd be one of them that wants to support the Cats. On December 28th would have been great to go down and support the Cats. But I'm sure we're going to work with people to try to do the best we can to accommodate as many as we possibly can. But we still have to take care of our students. We still got to run. Got to teach. Got to learn.
Well, next year is the last year of the really big construction projects, too. So, you know, I have to accommodate for some of that, you know, beginning times, end time, all that good type stuff. Making allocation of time to get some things done during the year. So, but I think that'll be the last of the really big construction project years, I'm hoping.
Should be. Should be. And everything's been on schedule so far. You know, if anything, we've been early a couple months on some. We've been late a couple months on others for reasons. Supply issues were the biggest thing, where something just physically won't come in and you're stuck on something. But our contractors, our CM at Risk, have been outstanding. Our architect team's been outstanding. They've been doing great work.
Well, I know I might just say, you know, my daughter goes to Marlette. This is her last year going there. They improved the parking lot in the last year. I feel like parent pickup's gotten a lot easier. Mm-hmm. I might just say that at the beginning of the year it was a little rough, but
you had to learn, right? I always say with elementary, they're the rules and then they're unwritten rules. And if you don't know the unwritten rules, it causes a lot of chaos. but once everybody picks up the pattern that this is what you do, probably the biggest one is, if you're going to go inside, go here.
Yeah.
Park, go inside. Don't pull up in the pull-up lane where kids are just jumping in cars, getting buckled in and headed out. Don't park in that, because you're going to block a lot of people off. That was probably one of the lessons there at Marlette, I'm guessing, is where do we go if we're going to go in and talk to the officer, you know, give them some lunch money or talk to the teacher, who knows?
Yeah. It's a lot smoother than it was in August. I can definitely attest to that. So thank you to everyone who, I know that takes a lot of teachers who volunteer their time out there after school, and they do a really good job. Just want to give them a shout out.
Principal Stevens did a good job too, trying to get out there and trying to see. I think she also did, this is how she envisioned it at the beginning, but saw some adjustments to make it better. And she wasn't willing to just stick with the first plan she had. She made it a better plan. She's been outstanding with that.
Well, don't forget, next year middle school is a little different, and they do have their own parking regulations and ideas as well, and both principals are usually out there helping with that. as well. So
I'm not too worried about middle school. My daughter's going to go to Anthony, and we are in walking distance. So
there you go.
She's going to take care of that herself.
There you go. It's crazy for 30 minutes a day on the front end, 30 minutes a day on the back end. The rest of the time, it's pretty smooth and good.
Yeah. All right. Well, guys, it's always good to talk with you here. Again, we'll remind people you can tune into the school board meeting tonight, legislative work session at 5 and the regular meeting at 6:30. Eric Reed, Daryl Eady, our guests. Thanks, guys.
Thank you, Brandon.
Thanks, Brandon.
Stay tuned. More in Focus continues in a moment here on News Radio KMAN.